These choruses have been around for a lot of years, and a lot of people just never heard them. And but they're good. They're biblical, and they have a lot of meaning. And you know, sometimes we just have to take a moment and think. And just, you know, the Bible says to be still and know that I am God. And sometimes we just don't take time to do that. Just take time and be still and just think about the love of God and what God has done for you. So we'll continue in Ephesians chapter 5. Tonight we are going to pick up where we left off last week. Last week we talked about walking in love as Christians. And tonight we got through verses 1 through 7. Tonight I want to try to get through verses 8 through 14. So in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 through 14, if you please open your Bibles there, we'll read those verses and then we'll make our message tonight out of Ephesians 5, 8 through 14. The Bible tells us, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, again for your precious and holy word. And Father, may it go forth tonight and do what is set out to accomplish. And we know that it will because you promised that, Father. Thank you for all that you do for us and give us. Thank you for meeting with us tonight. I pray, Father, for those that would have longed to be here and are unable to do so because of illness. Father, we just ask for healing in their life. And we think of brother and sister Joe and Debbie, Father, just keep them in your care. Provide their needs, Father. Get them through this time of their life and help us to be a supportive church to continually pray for them and provide their needs, Lord. We pray that you would do so. And for Linda Henson, who is traveling, Father, that you keep her safe. And Father, for those who are mentioned tonight in the request, Lord, we ask that you would meet each need according to your precious will. Speak to us again, I pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, last week we talked about walking in love, and with a love that is sacrificial and free from any hint of personal gain. It was the agape love, and we talked about agape love a little bit last week, and that's what the first seven verses in Ephesians chapter 5 was talking about, walking in love. It says, "Be ye followers of God as dear children." And being children of God, we have a responsibility to walk in love as much as is possible. And sometimes love, it's tough. Love has to be tough, and we have to show tough love as Christians. And we'll learn a little bit about that tonight as we go through this, because the highest form of love, you know, or charity, is the love of God for humanity. There's no greater love than the love that God has for human beings. And as Christians, we have to have that same kind of love. And sometimes the only way for us to show that love towards other human being, is to be able to walk worthy to be called saints. And in order to do that, not only do we have to have love, but we have to also bear the responsibility of being a positive influence in a world that is so negative out there, and they're trying to destroy everything that there is out there that has to do with Christ or with God. So we have a responsibility as we continue with this, as Paul talks going forward in verses 8 through 14, to walk as light. And Brother Paul, when he opened in prayer, he said something about being a light to a world. And that's what we've got to be. We've got to pray that we'll be that light that God chose us to be. And he saved us to be light for Jesus Christ. A lot of people think, you know, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, hallelujah, everything's good in my life. We don't have to worry about nobody else. But that's wrong thinking. We've got a responsibility to let our light so shine before men that the world may see our good works and give glory to God our Father. And that's what we're supposed to do. Let people see the light of Jesus Christ shining in our life, because that's what we have to do. So we have to learn to walk in that light. And we are now, once a person gets saved, they become light in the Lord. And that's what we find out through verses 8 through 10. We are now light in the Lord. Before coming to Christ, before someone gets saved, before you got saved, you were once in darkness. Before Jesus Christ comes into a life, that person is in darkness. They don't see the things that we see. And when a person gets saved, they're able to see the dark through the darkness of this world and allow themselves to be able to be a witness to those around them. And that's exactly what we have a responsibility to do. But now that you're saved, if you're here tonight and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're light in the Lord and you should walk as children of light. Very easy. I mean, it's not a hard thing to do. It's pretty simple. Say no to the things that are wrong and say right to the things that are good. And unfortunately, sometimes as Christians, we have a responsibility to call out the darkness and to stand up against the darkness. And I think that's where we failed as a universal church as a whole years ago. I think the church did not stand strong enough in the light, and they didn't let their light shine the way that it should have been shining all along. Or, you know, our world probably wouldn't be in the shape that it's in now if Christians would have made a stand years ago and said, enough is enough. We are children of light, and in this dark world, we're going to let our light shine before anybody that we come in contact with. But in Ephesians chapter 2, remember what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, where he says, and ye hath he quickened, or brought to life. When someone gets saved, they're brought to life. Who were dead in trespasses and sin. Before you were saved, you were dead to the things that are light. You were dead to the world, to the Word of God. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air. You see, the prince of darkness, the devil himself, Lucifer, Satan, is out to destroy, to put out the light that we try to carry and to shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got a responsibility to keep that light burning. And the oil of that light is simply the Word of God. And we've got to make sure that we fill ourselves with that oil as much as we possibly can and keep our lights burning and keep them trimmed. And the only way to do that is to stay in the Word of God and to keep it as part of our life. But he goes on and he says, among whom also we all have conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh. See, we used to war against that. And sometimes as Christians, we're still going to war against the flesh. It's going to happen because we still have that old sin nature, and that sin nature doesn't go away until we walk through the pearly gates into heaven, and that's when that sin nature is going to go away. But right now, while we're down here, we have a responsibility to do everything in our power to make sure that when we walk as light, we walk in this world of darkness, we let that light shine so bright that it draws those that are stuck in the darkness into our presence. And when we come into our presence, if we're shining properly, we can introduce them to Jesus. We can introduce them to the true light. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And he says clearly that, you know, a light cannot be hid, a city that's on a hill when the light shines. And, you know, sometimes when you're out traveling at night, and you're out in the darkness and you're going on a vacation or whatever, there's some places going down some of these four lanes, going through Alabama, for instance. If you traveled that highway through Alabama down through to Louisiana and stuff, I'm telling you, there's a patch of road down there, there's nothing. I mean, you got pine trees on both sides of you. And if you're doing that at nighttime, you don't see no cities hardly at all for miles and miles and miles. And there's so much darkness. If you turn off your headlights and you try to drive in that darkness, You're gonna get lost, plain and simple. And see, that's why people get lost, because we turn off our lights and we're not shining that light in a dark world, trying to lead people in the right direction. And I know, you know, being a deer hunter, I used to go out into the woods and I'd walk in the woods when it was still dark. I'd go in the woods at 5-6 o'clock in the morning when it's still dark out there, and I sometimes didn't take a flashlight, but I knew where I was going. But I was much happier when I had that flashlight to get through the woods where I wanted to go, because when you started hearing funny noises, you hear footsteps walking behind you. It's kind of like, whoa, something's coming up behind me. And the one thing you want is a light in your hand to be able to shine that light. See, what is that? And see, that's what we got to do as Christians. When we're walking in this dark world, folks, flip the light of God's Word on every now and then and let that light from the Word of God, you know, fill your soul as much as it possibly can, so you don't have to walk in the flesh or the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And says, and we're by nature children of wrath, even as others. Because when people don't know Jesus Christ and they don't have the light of Christ in their life, they're walking in the wrath of God. God's wrath will be poured out upon those people. And folks, the last thing we want to see is for people to go to hell. If you have a desire to see people to go to hell, there's something wrong with your heart. You're not walking in light. And we've got a responsibility to make sure that we share that light with as many people as possible. But now that we are light in the Lord, if you're here tonight and you're saved, you should walk as the children of light. For, like in Ephesians 5:8, it says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Let that light shine. Let people see Jesus in your life. And if you hide Jesus, Jesus said clearly, if you're ashamed of me in front of men, I will be ashamed of you in front of my Father. And the last thing I want to see happen is anybody from Abundant Life Baptist Church that stands before the Lord one day and Jesus says, "I'm ashamed of you. I'm ashamed of your Christian walk. I love you. You're saved, but I'm ashamed of what you did for me because you didn't do anything for me." So what are you doing to let your light shine? Where are you at? How bright is your light in this dark world? When others see you, can they see that there's something about you that will draw them to say, "I want to be like they are. I want to be out of the darkness of this world, and I want to walk in the fruits that the Bible talks about"? Or are you ashamed of who you are as a Christian? But the fruit is expected of those children of light is goodness, righteousness, and truth. And folks, Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth." So what is the truth? It's Jesus Christ. The best truth you can tell anybody is how to get saved. Tell them how they need to recognize their sin, and they need to admit that they're a sinner, and they need to go before a holy God, and they need to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ and pour out their hearts to Him and admit that they're a sinner, and they need to see that they're walking in darkness, and the only way to get through this world in light is by repentance of their sins and to turn away from that sin and to walk worthy of the vocation that God's called them to put them in. And that's our responsibility as Christians, to make sure that this fruit of the Spirit that it's talking about here, that the fruit that's expected of every one of us as Christians is to be children of light. And that's goodness, being good to people, just downright good to people. You know, we live in a world where there's so much bad going on, and we live in a world where people need to see good people. And, you know, there's a lot of good people in this world who are unsaved as well. But they don't have the goodness that we have. They don't have that light that shines bright in a dark world. They're good to people. I know unsaved people give you the shirt off their back if you asked for it and needed it. But sometimes people in their own mind are so good. They don't understand that the Bible said there's none righteous. No, not one. Not one person. And you know, I mentioned this morning, Barb and I went to see Joe and Debbie there again Friday and spent some time with them. And I can't get out of my mind Brother Joe sitting there and how his nephew told him he was the godliest man he'd ever known. And Joe said, "No, I'm not." He said, "There's only one to look to, and that's Jesus." I mean, that's humility, folks. That's humility. And that's a light that's going to shine. You know, sometimes even when a person leaves this old ugly world and they step into the presence of God, their light still shines here on this earth. I think of a lot of pastors who have gone on, who are no longer with us, and you can still, one of the gentlemen that I used to like to listen to was Adrian Rogers. Adrian Rogers, I just used to love to hear that man preach. And I still listen to him once in a while. He was the head of the Southern Baptist Convention, I think, at one time. But he left such a testimony behind. His ministry still goes on. Love Worth Finding, still going on. His light is still shining. I think of people like the Apostle Paul, who his light was so bright in his day that it still shines. He wrote over 13 books in the Word of God. And God is still using his testimony in today's world. Could you think about that? Just take a moment and think about that. That if you could leave that kind of a testimony behind, that you walked so bright in such a dark world, that even when God calls you out of this world, your light is still shining. It's still shining. How did Nikki get Brother Dale's phone number to call him Friday and say, "I want to get saved"? How did she do that? Well, he's obviously let his light shine to the degree where somebody who knew this young lady gave the number to her and said, "Call this man. He'll tell you how to be saved." Because his light was shining. He let his light shine. What a testimony is that? I mean, if people know that they can come to you in time of darkness in their life and they can pick up a phone and call your number and say, "Hey, I want to be saved," or "Hey, will you pray for me?" And what a testimony. And that's the kind of a testimony we all need to carry. where people know that we walk in light with Jesus to the degree where no matter what's going on in their life, that they can call somebody from Abundant Life Baptist Church who knows the Lord Jesus Christ and say, hey, I'm going through a rough time. Will you please pray for me? What a testimony. That is a huge, huge... Hold on to that. Hold on to your testimony. Don't let this world take it away from you. Don't let the darkness of this world put out the light of your life that you're trying to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. For that, so walk in light. Do good things, righteousness and truth. Righteousness simply means to do those things that are right. Walking in righteousness is simply do what's right. Just do the right thing. The Bible tells you what's wrong. You want to know what sin is? Pick up the Word of God and read it. It tells you very distinctly, don't do this. It says clearly as we go down through there, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Point them out. We have a responsibility to point out sin. And you know, when was the last time anybody done that? When was the last time you had a conversation with an unsaved person and said, listen, you're living in sin. And this is what the Bible says about it. But you do it in a heart of love. We talked last week about walking in love. Now we're talking about walking in light. And part of that light is when that light... You ever walked into a dark room? Just go into a dark room. Come in this room sometime when it's dark. I've been in here when it was dark and I left the lights off. Come up here and knelt down and pray when I've been here by myself a couple of times. And I'm telling you, when you turn the light on, it makes a world of difference. It makes a world of difference. Go in a room sometime where there's no windows in it and turn out the light. My dad used to talk about how dark it was down in the mines. Brother Frank, you know what that's like in the mines. My dad, once in a while, if he wanted to be alone down in the mines and go somewhere and pray when he was on break or something, he'd go somewhere in a corner and he'd turn off his light and he'd sit down in pure darkness. You can put your hand in front of your face and you can't even see your hand. I mean, it's that dark down in the bottom of the mines. I think we went to Seneca Rock one time. And we went in the caverns that they have there. And you get down in these caverns, down in the bottom of the ground, and they'll turn the lights out. They'll say, okay, nobody move, stand right where you are. We're going to turn the lights out. We want you to see how dark it is. And they turn that light off, and it is pitch black in those caverns. And I'm telling you, it's an eerie feeling. It's a very eerie feeling. But then when those lights come on, it's like, light, you know, and it's a good feeling. And you know, the world don't realize it, but they need you. The world needs people who walk in light. And if you let your light so shine, that darkness will dissipate. And I think I've shared with you all before, these guys that I do some work with remotely now. When we have a call, I got a couple calls tomorrow morning with them. And when we're on that call, every now and then they'll let something slip. And they'll say a curse word or something in the middle of their talk. And they know better than to do that because I pointed it out on them before. And they got this one guy's got this whiteboard in his office, in his home. And every time one of them says a cuss word, oop, there's one for Roy. That's a dollar from you. But I hope they're not doing it to make fun of me. But if they are, that's fine. They want to make fun of me, make fun of me. That's okay. But you know what? At least I'm trying to do my best to let my light shine. And that's what God wants all of us to do, is to let our light shine to people who need the Lord. They need Jesus Christ. And so that fruit that's expected as children of light is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Truth. Tell the truth one to another. Don't, you know, it's kind of like the old saying that used to be years ago, if you're not an eyewitness, you're a false witness. If you didn't see it with your own eye, then it's a lie. You can't go with secondhand information. But you know what, with the Word of God, those who saw, there was over 500 people who saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. Those are eyewitnesses. We have eyewitnesses that we can depend on who saw Jesus after he rose from the dead. So you know what truth is? Truth is the Word of God. There's no lies in the Bible anywhere. You're not going to find a lie anywhere. You can't show me a lie anywhere in the Bible. You can't do it. It's not there because the Word of God is truth, and it's not going to change. By bearing such fruit, such as what we just talked about, the goodness and the righteousness and the truth, as we bear those, we fulfill our role as light in a dark world by proving or demonstrating what is well-pleasing to the Lord. And there's nothing more well-pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ than to see that we walk in truth and that we walk in righteousness and we walk in light, letting our light shine before other people. So when they look at us, they say, I know that person's a Christian. I know that person's a Christian. I know that person's a Christian. Whether they like you or not for it, that's okay. But I'm telling you, when darkness hits their life, they're going to call you. They're going to depend on you. They're going to say, hey, can you help me through this? I don't know what to do. I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what else to do. But in Ephesians chapter 10, 5 and verse 10, it says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We've got a responsibility to prove ourselves to a dark world. And every now and then, somebody's got to come along and flip our switch and turn our light on. And that's part of coming to church, folks. It is. That's part of picking up the Word of God and reading it throughout the week. That's keeping your light turned on at all times. And then in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul says very clearly, I beseech you. He said, I beg you, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God. I mean, think about that. He's beseeching you, he's begging you by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. In other words, you don't have to die for Christ. Be willing to do so if that be God's calling for your life. But he wants you to be a live sacrifice, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's the least you can do. That word reasonable means that's the least that you can do for God Almighty, is to walk in a way that the world can see the light shine through you. And be not conformed to this world. Folks, when you are controlled by the things of this world, then your light's not very bright. Because when others see you doing what the world is doing, and you're living the kind of a life that the rest of the world is living, and they don't see you, they don't see you for who you are in Christ Jesus because your light is not bright, don't go along with what the rest of the world is doing. Don't go along with it. And when sin rises its ugly head, it's okay to rebuke it. Just tell them, I'd appreciate if you don't take my Lord's name in vain. So many times you hear people do that. They take the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and they use it as a curse word. And when you hear that, it's okay to say, hey, do me a favor. Please don't talk about my Savior like that. I had a guy one time that used to say that all the time. He'd just take Jesus Christ and he'd say that word out there like it was a cuss word. And I looked at him one day and said, oh, do you know Jesus? Are you crying out to Jesus? Are you crying out to my Savior? Boy, shut him up. He never, ever did that again in front of me. And that's the things we need to do, folks. When somebody takes the name of Christ and they use it as profanity, we've got a responsibility to stand firm, and we got to call it out sometimes. I think that's where we failed sometimes as Christians. We've dimmed our lights a little bit. It's just a little bit of light there. It's not bright. It'd be kind of like if we had a dimmer switch back here and we started dimming the lights and turning them down, and it keeps getting darker and darker. And the world we live in right now is so dark, folks, it's scary out there. It's so dark that it's scary. And you know what? That's exactly what the devil's trying to do. His deceptiveness in this world, he's even deceiving the Christians by having them dim their lights. Get rid of the dimmer switch. Leave it on. Leave your light on and as bright as you can possibly get it. He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed or changed by the renewing of your mind. We got a responsibility to renew our minds. And that renewing of your mind is the same as repenting, turning away from. Change your thinking and admit that the Bible is right and you're wrong. Because no matter what you're thinking, if your thinking isn't in line with the Word of God, then you're not getting your electricity for your light the right way. You're letting the oil from the Word of God go dim, and your light is going to go dim. And when that light goes dim, folks, the world's going to get darker and darker. Can you imagine what it's going to be on the day of rapture when God calls us all out of this world? What's the chaos going to be like in this world? And the world don't see it. They're going to make excuses when God calls us out of this world, because right now there's still a remnant of us left in this world who is keeping at bay the wickedness of this world. And if we quit praying, folks, and we quit letting our light shine, that darkness is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. And that light that we try to shine in a world of darkness, the world's going to get darker and darker and darker. And as long as we're here, we've got a responsibility to flip those lights on and keep them on as bright as these are right here in this room right now. If we'd flip those lights off back there, it'd be very dark. That's what it's going to be like when the rapture takes place. Because when we leave, the Holy Spirit goes with us. He's not staying behind during the tribulation period. Folks, he's out of here. And it's going to be an ugly day. I mean, think about it. You're going to have, there's Christians out there who fly airplanes. There's going to be planes that crash. There's going to be automobile accidents because that light is all gone. Somebody's going to be driving down the road in their automobile, and Jesus Christ is going to step on that cloud, and he's going to call his children home. But you know what? If you're in that car is going to keep going. There's going to be head-on collisions. It's going to be total chaos. And the world is going to make all kind of excuses for it. Oh, we had an invasion from Mars. They're going to come up with all kind of excuses. I mean, think about it. Think about the lies that they have now. And this AI stuff that's going on right now. Oh, my. It's scary. It's scary what this AI stuff is able to do. I mean, they can actually take your voice and put it in another body and make it look so real. So real. It's just like they can take somebody who dies and they can bring them to life on television or on the internet and make it look like they've never died at all. It's a scary thing. And that's where this world is heading. But we've got a responsibility to prove or by demonstrating what is well-pleasing to the Lord in a world that is just falling apart. He says that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's only certain things that's acceptable in the eyes of God. And you want to know what those are? It's in the Word of God. It's in God's Word. If you don't read it, folks, you don't know what's acceptable to God. Pick it up and read it. Try to understand what's good and right in the eyes of God. As light, we are to reprove darkness, or we're to call it out. We're to call sin what sin is. We don't need to sugarcoat sin, folks. God doesn't sugarcoat sin. You know, they got all kind of names out there for different things, but you know what? Sin is sin. Sodomy is sodomy. It's wrong in the eyes of God. I don't like the kind names that we give them. You know, I don't even like to say some of the things that they talk about. But, and the Bible says that we need to be careful with that. But at the same time, sin is sin. When someone tells me that, you know, well, you know, my husband as a guy, you know, oh, you're a sodomite. I mean, I hate to say it, but that's what we've got to start doing, calling sin what sin is. And that's what's wrong with the world today. We don't call sin out for what sin is. We sugarcoat it because we got this attitude, well, God's love. But you know what? God is also a God who hates sin. He abominates certain things. It's in the book of Proverbs when he talks about these seven things are an abomination. And that word, that abomination word is a strong, strong hatred for certain sins. And it tears God's heart out. I can't imagine what God goes through sitting on his throne in his perfect holiness when he looks down at this dark world and Christians are accepting this. I saw a thing the other day that said, has the Methodist Church, are they no longer Christian? Because they're accepting the LGBTQ like you wouldn't believe. They've taken the Word of God and they've laid it down and they're not believing what it says. They don't accept the Word of God anymore for what it says. That's a sad thing, folks. It's a very, very sad thing. It ought to break our hearts when we have people out there who claim to be, quote, Christian, who's accepting the sins of this world and saying that it's okay. That's not what God meant. Well, you know what? God said what he said, and he meant what he meant when he had the Word of God written. Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Spirit of God to write down God's Word. And God's Word does not lie. And he hates sin. And we've got a responsibility to hate that sin as well. But we need to hate it with a loving heart to the degree where our light shines and they're able to see that our lives are lights in a dark world. And if your light isn't shining the way that it needs to be shining, then folks, you need to back up and look at it again. But we have a responsibility to reprove that darkness. We are not to have fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. I told you guys about that situation I was in when I was up there a week before last up in Cleveland. Blew my mind with that 70-some-year-old man sitting there asking some young man, one of the managers, is there any queer bars around here? I thought to myself, oh, my word. I had to walk away. I had to walk away. I could not believe what I was hearing. So, folks, it's not just the young kids. It's people our age who are living in this dark world and are encouraging this kind of sin. Why? Because someone did not take the gospel where they were supposed to take it and share the gospel with that person. It's a shame. It says we're not to have fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Things like fornication, uncleanliness, covetousness, this LGBTQ stuff that's going on, the hatred for the nation of Israel that's going on in this world right now. We have to love God's people. We got to love the nation of Israel. We got to love the people of God. And you can tell who really loves the people of God. You can really tell it. Open the church doors. See who comes in. See who walks into the church when the doors are open. Those are the ones who want their light to shine in a dark world. And we have to have a desire to be able to do that. We got to flee things such as fornication, uncleanliness, covetousness. And just like it says there in Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Things as fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. And Ephesians 5:3-4, it says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you. And the sad part of it is it's named in the churches. It's in the churches all across this land. And the sad part is it's happened in independent fundamental Baptist churches. I've heard of some of that taking place out there in today's world. Pastors running off with piano players. You don't have to worry about that. If I run off with a piano player, you're okay, okay? She's my wife. See how God works? But I had a pastor tell me one time, my wife and I were looking for a church, and he said, brother, you don't need to look for a church. He said, you got all the makings to start your own. He said, you're ordained. You can preach the gospel. Your wife plays the piano. What more do you want? You know? And so thank God for my wife. But you know, it's the world is so dark right now. If it doesn't bring a tear to your eye and it doesn't break your heart when you see what's going on out there. And if you've not been out there to see it, don't go look at it. Don't go looking for it either. You don't want to look at it. I am so thankful that I don't have to travel to Cleveland and Cincinnati, I think as you called it one time, or Dayton, or some of those places where that sin is so rampant, and have to walk into some of the places I had to walk into and do the work that I did and listen to that old stinking, filthy music that they were playing. You can't even understand what they're saying. Folks, watch what you put in your mind. There's a battle going on right now, and it's a battle for the mind of mankind, the battle for the mind of the Christian, and the devil wants to do everything he can to destroy it. And this stuff that they call Christian music that sounds no more than a bunch of stinking rock and roll music they're bringing into the churches today, folks, it'll dry up your mind and it'll put your light out. Promise you, it will put your light out. If you stay in it too long, it will destroy you. Be careful what you put into your body, into your mind, and protect yourself from those kind of things. But he goes on, he said, but fornication, uncleanness, or all covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. In other words, as Christians, don't let those sins into your church. Don't let them into your life. Don't let it be named among you. Don't let the world point a finger at you and say, look what happened up there at Abundant Life Baptist Church. Look what they did up there. And you all know what this church has been through in the past. It's had some problems in the past. There's no doubt about that. There's been some problems at Abundant Life. But you know what? God has spared it. Why? Because there's a remnant of you who stuck with it, who let your light continue to shine. Don't let go of that. Hold on to that. That's the only way that Abundant Life Baptist Church is ever going to survive in this dark world, is that we keep our lights on so bright when we're out into this world that when people see us and we say, hey, if you're looking for a good church, come to Abundant Life Baptist Church. The young man that I talked to this morning that's wanting to join, he and his family there wanting to come to church here and join the church, his brother, who pastors another church somewhere in the area, told him, go to Abundant Life. It'd be a good church for you and your family. So I'm going to try to set up some time to work with him and counsel him on some things. But, you know, pray for that young man. Pray for that young man. You know, there's a little bit of a struggle there, but pray for him. You know, we got to love these people in the Lord and bring them into our church. And we got to be able to put the oil in their lamp so their light will shine as well in a dark world. And that's what we've got to do, is let our light shine in that dark world. Instead of having fellowship, our task is to reprove or rebuke them that walk in this sin. Things that we must reprove are often so disgraceful, it's even shameful to talk about it. I don't even like to think about it. When I see these people who, when you got a man, we have a guy in political office, actually, an older fellow, he's in his 70s, I believe, who had a sex change. And he holds office in the political realm. High up in the federal government. It's a disgrace. It sickens me when I think of what goes on out there in the politics of this world. Things that we must, and we've got a responsibility to call it out. That's our responsibility. It's okay to say no to sin. We're not going to accept that. And I'm not going to have no part of it. I'm not going to walk in the unfruitful works of darkness. And I don't even want to talk about some of the things that they talk about or some of the things that takes place out there. My goodness, but you know this transgender thing, it's not new. It is not new. there have been people doing what they call cross-dressers for years. I remember when we lived in Parkersburg, and I was a manager up there of a store up in Parkersburg, and it was the first store I was ever a general manager of. And I was working the drive-thru window one day, and this car comes through, and this car pulls up to the window, and it was a man, but it wasn't a man. I saw the hairy arms like you see on a man, long fingernails, even had a, you know, the 5 o'clock shadow. And I turned around and looked at the guy behind me that was with me. I said, what is that? Oh, he said, his name is a man to love. I said, a man to love? That's the first time I ever saw one of those people. And how long ago was that when we lived in Parkersburg? 30-some years ago? 40, almost 40-some years ago. It wasn't long after we got married. And I'm thinking, oh, my. I got to get my kids in church, you know. Got to raise them boys to be men. And that's the problem. A lot of the problem, folks, is this. There's a lot of single mothers in this world who have boys, and they don't raise them to be men. And that's sad. That's sad. That breaks my heart. You know, a young man needs to have a godly, manly, masculine example to follow. And it's hard to find in today's world. It's hard to find somebody. What happened to the masculinity of man? We've let ourselves be beat down as men to the point where we're a bunch of sissies. I mean, what happened? I'll tell you what happened. God's people quit letting their light shine. They let their lights go dim, and shame on us for that. But by walking in the light ourselves, we can, through example and by the word of God, reprove those or rebuke those. By contrast, these works of darkness, we can call them out and say, that is wrong. Don't do that. Don't talk that way in front of me. I don't want to talk about your sinful life. I don't want no part of it, because the Bible tells me that it's wrong. And the Bible tells me it's wrong, then it's wrong, plain and simple. And I'm not going to walk in that darkness. I'm going to walk in the light. So as we continue, hopefully I can get through this tonight. As we go on to we're still on point B here. As light, we are to reprove darkness. So the need to be light ourselves, something that comes only from Christ. The only way we can let our light shine, folks, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't go out in the world without Jesus Christ in your heart and walk with Christ in a way that's going to point others to Him. So Ephesians 5, verse 14, talks about that as well. Instead of darkness, we have a responsibility to prove them. So when that happens, the need for this light is so strong in this dark world. It says in Ephesians 5, 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. Wake up, Christian. Wake up and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You want light? Wake up. How do you wake up? Pick up the Word of God. Bow your head before Jesus Christ, before God Almighty, and ask God for daily strength to let your light so shine before men. We've got a responsibility. Christ gives that light to those who were spiritually asleep and were dead at one time. When a person gets saved, they've got to have something to follow. And you know what? Those of us who've been saved the longest, we've got a responsibility to make sure that these young Christians have something to follow. You know, and we'll get into that later on. You know, there's passages of Scripture in the Bible that says that the elderly women in the churches are to set the proper example to teach the younger generation to how to walk, how to talk, how to dress. All of those things are important when you're walking with Christ. But Christ gives light to those who were spiritually asleep and dead. And we've got a responsibility to make sure that we do our part. It says in Ephesians 2, 4 through 6, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy. See, God's mercy never stops. It's so rich that it goes on for eternity. Even though He hates sin, He still can show mercy to those who walked in darkness at one time. For His great love, wherewith He loved us. We talked about walking in love last week. Now we're talking about walking in light. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened or brought us to life together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Folks, think about His love. Think about His goodness. Think about His grace that got us through. You wouldn't be where you're at today, sitting at Abundant Life Baptist Church at an evening service, on a Sunday night if it wasn't for the grace of God. His grace got you here. You're here for a reason. You're listening to this because He wants you to hear it. And hath raised us up together. Think about that. He raises us up together as Christians. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're never alone. And you can go back and you can see in the Bible where the prophets of old, they thought they were alone. He was running. Elijah was running from a lady. Although he just called down fire and destroyed the prophets of Baal. And then a few days later, he's running away from one lady who was out to kill him and destroy him. And he hid himself. He was afraid. But then he kept telling God, I'm alone. And God said, you're not alone. There's still a remnant out there, over 10,000 or something. Think about that. We are not alone. There are other churches out there who are trying to do the same thing we're doing. There's a lot of them out there, and we need to pray for them churches as well. Lift them up before God. Even if you don't know them by name, pray for those churches that they'd let their light shine. And he goes on, he said, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. Notice that word, sit together in heavenly places. That's not past tense. That's not future tense. That's right now. Right now, it's as if we're sitting in heaven right now. Our salvation is so secure and our light can be so bright that we are sitting right now in the presence of God Almighty in heaven. And that's a wonderful thing. In heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. And some scholars actually believed that verse 14 here that we just went through there. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. There are some scholars who believe that that was a song in a Baptist song years ago when they were performing baptisms, that this was sung at a person's baptism. Kind of like, you know, and raise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. And when a person was baptized, they believed they got, after that baptism, that they could let their light shine. But we know that water baptism doesn't save us, folks, but it is an example of letting your light shine, of not being ashamed of the fact. It's an open testimony to the world that I'm following Jesus. And this was, they say this was an old song that they used to sing there. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Let your light shine. Walk with Jesus. Let people see Jesus in your life. It's not a hard thing to do. It's really not. If you have trouble doing it, talk to him about it. Go to him and say, Lord, I want to be a light. I feel like my light's not shining the way that it should. I want my light to shine around those that I'm working with, to those that I'm in my family, my friends. They need to see Jesus in you. Folks, we got to get the Word of God out. I've been preaching that for a while now, and I'm going to keep on preaching it until we start emptying our track racks. We got some more tracks out there, folks, because it was getting kind of low, and Caitlin filled them up again, I think, today. So we got some more out there. I'm having her order a few more that I wanted to see, get them out there and get the Word of God out to as many people as we can. So let your light shine. Walk in love and let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. And next week we'll talk about walking as wise. Walking as wise. Let's pray. Father, we're so grateful and thankful, Father, for the precious Word of God. We thank you for the examples that we have, Father, those who've gone on before us, Lord, who walked in light, who walked in love and walked in light, and we're able to do the same now if we follow in their footsteps. But the one we want to follow the most, Lord, is the one that we love the most, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for salvation. Thank you that you've provided us with a plan of salvation that we can take to a dark world, and we can take those who are living in darkness and let our light shine before them, that they may see that we have something that they need and that they should desire to have in their lives. Forgive us, Father, when we don't let our light shine, and help us to keep it bright, not to hide it under a bushel, but to let it shine in this dark world. Father, continue to work in our lives as we have our invitation time. For us, in Christ's name we pray. Amen.